The Path of Prosperity by James Allen. Foreword. I looked around upon the world, and I saw that it was shadowed by sorrow and scorched by the fierce fires of suffering. And I looked for the cause. I looked around, but could not find it. I looked in books, but could not find it. I looked deeper within, and found there both the cause and the self-made nature of that cause. I looked again, and deeper, and found the remedy. I found one law, the law of love. One life, the life of adjustment to that law. One truth, the truth of a conquered mind and a quiet and obedient heart. And I dreamed of writing a book which should help men and women, whether rich or poor, learned or unlearned, worldly or unworldly, to find within themselves the source of all success, all happiness, all accomplishment, all truth. And the dream remained with me, and at last became substantial. And now I send it forth into the world on its mission of healing and blessedness, knowing that it cannot fail to reach the homes and hearts of those who are waiting and ready to receive it. The Lesson of Evil. Unrest and pain and sorrow are the shadows of life. There is no heart in all the world that has not felt the sting of pain. No mind has not been tossed upon the dark waters of trouble. No eye that has not wept the hot blinding tears of unspeakable anguish. There is no household where the great destroyers, disease and death, have not entered, severing heart from heart and casting over all the dark pool of sorrow. In the strong and apparently indestructible meshes of evil are all more or less fast caught, and pain, unhappiness, and misfortune wait upon mankind. With the object of escaping, or in some way mitigating, this overshadowing gloom, men and women rush blindly into innumerable devices, pathways by which they fondly hope to enter into a happiness which will not pass away. Such are the drunkard and harlot, who revel in sensual excitements. Such is the exclusive aesthete, who shuts himself out from the sorrows of the world, and surrounds himself with enervating luxuries such as he who thirsts for wealth or fame, and subordinates all things to the achievement of that object. And such are they who seek consolation in the performance of religious rites. And to all the happiness sought seems to come, and the soul, for a time, is lulled into a sweet security and an intoxicating forgetfulness of the existence of evil. But the day of disease comes at last, or some great sorrow, temptation, or misfortune breaks suddenly on the unfortified soul, and the fabric of its fancied happiness is torn to shreds. So, over the head of every personal joy, hangs the Damoclean sword of pain, ready at any moment to fall and crush the soul of him who is unprotected by knowledge. The child cries to be a man or woman. The man and woman sigh for the lost felicity of childhood. The poor man chafes under the chains of poverty by which he is bound, and the rich man often lives in fear of poverty, or scours the world in search of an elusive shadow he calls happiness. Sometimes, the soul feels that it has found a secure peace and happiness in adopting a certain religion, in embracing an intellectual philosophy, or in building up an intellectual or artistic ideal. But some overpowering temptation proves the religion to be inadequate or insufficient. The theoretical philosophy is found to be a useless prop, or, in a moment, the idealistic statue upon which the devotee has for years been labouring is shattered into fragments at his feet. Is there, then, no way of escape from pain and sorrow?